It's great to see all of you here this evening. I want us to be sure and remember those of our church family that's in the nursing home. I visited both the nursing homes in town today and the hospital, and I hope you'll remember those people that are there. They certainly appreciate this church, and they certainly appreciate all of the ministry, and so be sure and remember all of them tonight. As we come to chapter 3, we picked it up on Sunday evening, and we look first of all at the convocation. Nebuchadnezzar, as you will remember, decided that he would make a great golden image that he wanted people to bow down and to worship. And we looked at that all of the peoples there that were in that area of Babylon, they would come and they would prostrate themselves there before that great image. And of course, we're going to see tonight that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not going to be a part of that. If you will, take the Bible there in the back of your pew. Turn, if you will, to page 938, beginning in verse 8. Tonight we're going to look at the other two points of this, beginning in verse 8 of chapter 3, page 938 in the ESV there in the back of your pew. And we're going to look at the condemnation that was brought against Daniel and his three friends because of their refusal to worship the golden image. Notice, if you will, in verses 8 through 18, "Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews." The word Chaldeans there is an ancient word for the Babylonians, but this was a special group within the king's court. These were the magicians. These were the astrologers. These were those that divined fortunes and all of those mystic things that they were involved in, the superstitions. And among those would have been included Daniel and his three friends. However, even though they're lumped in the category of the Chaldeans, they certainly were not going to give in to anything that misrepresented the God that they served. Verse 9 says, "They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar." Now, these that are declaring to King Nebuchadnezzar are these Chaldeans that do not include Daniel and his three friends, because what this group is going to do is they're going to make sure that because they've been elevated, they've been promoted to some of the chief positions in the Babylonian government, and are not in those positions any longer. Remember, they couldn't interpret the dream. They couldn't tell Nebuchadnezzar the dream. But they're going to make sure to make it rough and tough for these four Jewish Hebrew boys. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, they said, "O king, live forever." Now, that's mentioned, that phrase, "O king, live forever," is mentioned several times in the book of Daniel. Notice in verse 10, "You, O king, have made a decree." Now, they're setting King Nebuchadnezzar up to remind him that he made a decree, therefore, they're going to hold him fast to this decree. And so they first of all say, "O king, live forever." They're buttering the king up. "You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning, fiery furnace." Now, remember, these are not friends to the four Hebrew boys here. They had forgotten, obviously, that they're only alive because of Daniel and his three friends, who prayed specifically that God would give the interpretation of the dream and give to Daniel the dream for which would save not only Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life, but it would save the lives of these Chaldeans, these false prophets that said they could tell the future and they could interpret dreams and they could do all these things. Remember, Daniel, because of Daniel's God who worked through Daniel as an instrument to interpret the dream and tell the dream, it's only because of Daniel and God's grace upon his life that these Chaldeans were spared and not sawn asunder and cut in pieces as Nebuchadnezzar had first said. Verse 11 says, "And whoever does not fall down." Now, once again, they're telling Nebuchadnezzar as if he doesn't remember what he said. They're reminding of the decree made about the musical instruments. When you hear these, everyone was to fall down and worship this great image. Verse 11, "And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace." There are certain Jews, notice the way they put it to Nebuchadnezzar. They want him to be sure that they are singling out this group of four, and they're Jews. There are certain Jews, and notice they use the term Jews there. In other words, these are Jews. They're really not Babylonians, even though they've been in Babylonian captivity a long time. There are certain Jews whom, notice they say, "You have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon." Here they are, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as well, of course, as Daniel. "So these men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up." Now, with enemies like that, who needs them as friends? Have you ever noticed? Let me tell you, when the going gets tough, friends sometimes get going, don't they? And here, they're reminding the king of the decree that he made. They're reminding him that these Jewish guys are not bowing to his gods or to this image. Verse 13, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage." Notice Nebuchadnezzar was one of those despotic kings who had a violent temper. He used it whenever he needed to. He succumbed to it. And so he goes into this furious rage. He commanded, notice, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true? Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up? Now, if you are ready..." He's given them a second chance here. "Now, if you're ready," see the ultimatum that he gives them. "Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I've made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Do you notice that as we looked at this last week, there are lots of people that are false professors of their faith. You know, Billy Graham made the statement many years ago when he was preaching all over the world that if all the Baptists in all the world died, that 50% of them would wake up in hell. Well, I want you to know, I don't doubt that what he's saying, because there's lots of people that profess something, but whenever they're put to the test, then where are they? They're nowhere to be found. They are apostates. They fall away. They never were born again. And notice what he says, "And who is the God?" He's quick to point out, after Daniel interpreted his dream, told him what the dream was, that he praised the God of Daniel, the God of heaven and earth. But notice how quickly in chapter 3, he's reverted back to his old ways of, you see, it didn't matter to him to praise the God of Daniel earlier because the Babylonians just considered another god among all of the polytheistic gods that they served. Therefore, to acknowledge Daniel's God would not have been a big problem. He would have just been in the camp with all of their other deities that they worshiped. And so, notice he says, "And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." Now, I want you to notice, because this is all about the boldness and the courage and the integrity of Christian people to not make compromises in life. Do you notice how that people are compromising what they once thought? There are various denominations that are compromising now their beliefs about what they feel today based upon the mores of society, the culture of society, whichever the wind is blowing in the direction it's blowing, they are compromising in order to fit into the worldview, a secular worldview. Notice in verse 16, there's absolutely no compromise among these Jewish Hebrew boys. Notice, I love it when they say, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." In other words, the matter is already settled with us. We're not backing down, we're not backing up, and we're not bending over. In other words, we've made our choice, we've made our decision, and there's no reason for us to answer you. If this be so, notice what these Jewish boys said, "If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King." Now, how many of us here tonight have the courage, the faith, the boldness to stand in the midst of opposition, to stand in the midst of being given a mandate that if you don't bow to the whims and the wishes of me, the king, and what I believe, then you're going to be put in a fiery furnace where they would surely die, or so Nebuchadnezzar thought. Now, notice in verse 17, these Jewish boys say that our God is able. Our God is able to deliver us. There was no question whatsoever in their mind. Nebuchadnezzar's pride had gotten the best of him. His anger is blurted out in his character and his behavior. And the accusers that are accusing these Hebrews are bringing to Nebuchadnezzar that they are a bunch of insubordinates. Somebody that's insubordinate to whoever the leader is, and to not bend and bow to these wishes. And so Nebuchadnezzar is in defiance of the God of Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But notice they will not compromise their convictions because of the faith that they have in the God of heaven and earth. Now, there's not very many people today, I dare say, that would stand with that kind of conviction, that kind of boldness. In fact, if you were standing before a firing squad tonight and you had to renounce your faith, that kind of changes the picture, doesn't it? How many of us would have the courage to say, "I'm not going to bow to what I believe is pure evil in the sight of my God"? How many of us could do that tonight? When I read all the time in Christian Post, how many various missionaries around the world, ministers, their families, that are being martyred for their faith because they will not bow to the whims of Islam. How many of those people are dying because they will not compromise their faith whatsoever? But I want you to notice in verse 18, very interesting verse here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in the presence of King Nebuchadnezzar. They're answering him. They said, "Our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, but if not," in other words, they're saying, if it isn't his will, that's what they're saying here. "But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Now they make this great declaration in verse 17 and 18. There's no question about their God is able. Our God is able to deliver us. Do you believe that tonight, church? Amen? Do you believe God is able? Do you believe God is omnipotent? He's all-powerful? Do you believe that tonight? Well, that's exactly what they're saying, that their God is a God of omnipotence. He is an all-powerful God. He is able to do this. But they go on and say, "But if not," in other words, "but if he doesn't deliver us," they're saying, we're still going to have the faith and the boldness and the courage and no compromise whatsoever to stand in the midst of something that is ungodly, something that is wicked, something that is evil, and whatever happens. It reminds me of what the apostle said, Apostle Paul. "If I live, I live to the Lord. If I die, I'm the Lord's." He said, "So if I live or if I die, I'm the Lord's." Let me tell you, the last account I had was that the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, that doesn't mean that every human being in the world is going to die, because we know that according to Paul's writings to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians, when he spoke about that the dead in Christ will rise and we who are alive will be caught up together. Not every human being will die. There'll be millions of people alive when Jesus calls the redeemed out of this world. I want you to know tonight that is great peace. That's great hope tonight, to know that we serve a God. He's well able. It may not be his will. Therefore, if it's against his will, then God will will that which goes along with what he wants for his will. So these three Jewish boys are saying, our God is able to deliver us, but if not, in other words, if God's got another purpose and another plan, he's saying, "But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." If somebody walked in here tonight and said, "You can no longer preach anything that would be contrary to where we are in America today with the marriage laws, same-sex issues, gender identification issues, abortion issues." If somebody walked in and said, "You can no longer preach against those things," what would you do, church? Would you take a stand? You'd get arrested? You see, I think oftentimes that's where we really see where the rubber hits the road. It's, do I have conviction enough in my faith? Sunday morning, I'll preach on Galatians 3:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, I don't know how long it will be when one of the coaches this week who had been taken, bending a knee on the football field there, in, I believe it's in Washington State, isn't it? I read one of the articles this past week. It went to the Supreme Court. In fact, it was Monday. He went before the Supreme Court, his attorneys did, fighting for him because he wanted it to be known that what he is fighting for is for every Christian in America. Folks, let me tell you, it's time that the church stands up for the truth of the Word of God. Let me tell you, if we don't stand for the Word, we'll fall for anything. Let me tell you, whenever the Roman Empire eventually took over their kingdom from the Greeks, let me tell you, they eventually fell. And they fell from within. Immoral corruption was one of the things. Let me tell you, I believe Christians are to follow the government until it goes against biblical principle. And when it goes against the Bible, I like what that coach said. He was a Marine for 20 years. He said, this is not what I spent 20 years of my life fighting for. And that's why he's taken his stand against what they are trying to do to him. And let me tell you, in order for evil to triumph, all good men have to do is sit back and do nothing. And folks, let me tell you, am I telling the truth? Did the Christians take a stand? Or did Madeline Murray O'Hare win that battle and got prayer taken out of the classroom? Where was the church? Where were we, the Christians? Asleep, absolutely asleep at the wheel. That's exactly where this nation is going to go one of these days if we're not taking the stands for what we believe. Let me tell you, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel took a stand. They were saying, if it cost us our life, O king, we're not going to serve your gods. I mean, it's a done deal. It's set in stone. We will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up. I saw the other day where in one of the countries they're already microchipping people with all of their business. So they can do all their banking business, grocery business, everything that they do. Well, it's just a prelude to the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, that's coming on the scene one of these days. You have to admire Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they said, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Notice what Nebuchadnezzar did in verse 19 or 18 there. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, notice what Nebuchadnezzar does here. But before we go there, I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs. Hold your place there. Turn back to page 686. 686. And in Proverbs chapter 16, speaking of the anger of this wicked heathen king, the writer of Proverbs said, in the 16th chapter of the book of Proverbs, page 686, verse 32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. It would have done Nebuchadnezzar well if he had read that, wouldn't it? Notice, if you will, the book of Romans. Hold your place in Daniel and flip over to page 1205 in the New Testament and look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul said to the Roman Christians, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, that word means changed, by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me tell you, that's exactly where these Hebrew boys were. They were not going to conform to the worldview of the Babylonians, nor to the king. Now, they realized that they were in deep, hot water, but they would not change their conviction, not one iota whatsoever, because they were going to stand for the God of heaven and earth. That moves us into verse 19. Now we see the conflagration, which is the fiery furnace ordeal. It's an intense fire is what that word conflagration means. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 19 through 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, do you remember what happened after the end of that 3 years and they marched before the king? He said they were 10 times better than any of those Babylonians. Well, look how quickly he's changed his demeanor. Notice it says he ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. Now, one commentary says that that is an expression just meaning that the heat in the furnace was to be as hot as it could possibly be. Now, notice what happens. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army. Notice the mighty men. Boy, isn't that what Putin has tried to do? Order some of his mighty men. Notice this. Shadrach, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Now, one commentary says that it certainly was not rope that they used to bind them, because why? If they were cast into the fiery furnace, they would quickly, the rope would burn off, right? So they probably used some type of chains. I could not help but think about this last evening when I was watching on History Channel, I believe it was, about the life of Harry Houdini, the great Houdini that could escape from anything. And they were showing a pair of handcuffs that no one could ever escape from. Anyways, quite an interesting deal. He did escape. Later, they tried to say that he had this all made up with the newspapers and the guy who made the handcuffs. But nonetheless, he was quite the guy who could get out of things. I thought when it says that the king's mighty men bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them into the burning fiery furnace, I thought about that. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, that was the outer layer, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent, and the furnace was overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't that just like God? There were those mighty warriors, Babylonian warriors, who who bound those three people, let me tell you, the God of heaven is sovereignly in charge. He's sovereignly in control. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, now you're going to ask the question, well, where's Daniel? Well, he was probably, according to most commentary that I read, Daniel was probably away on some business for Nebuchadnezzar in some other part of the Babylonian kingdom. But notice it says, and Abednego fell bound into the fiery furnace, burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Isn't it interesting that Nebuchadnezzar's mighty men are killed, they're stricken dead from the extreme heat of the furnace? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're just sitting in there having a party. They're not singed. They're not burned. They don't smell like smoke. And there's a fourth character there. Now, some commentaries, some Bible scholars say this was a pre-incarnate theophany, theo, speaking a manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ before the New Testament ever came. In the Old Testament, there were what we call theophanies. They were appearances of Christ before his incarnation, before he became flesh and dwelt among us. So some think this is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there are those in the Old Testament. There are other Bible scholars that think it was one of God's created angels that he sent. Well, it really matters not to me which way it is, does it you? The answer is still the same. Notice what happened. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now notice what he says, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. It's interesting that Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't say that any of his men saw what he saw about the three and the four that were in there. Do you remember on the road to Emmaus? Do you remember they didn't recognize Jesus at first? Do you remember that the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, when a blinding light came and a voice from heaven called out, none of the others heard that. None of the others experienced that. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, these are all of these government officials, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads were not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Wow, what an incredible declaration from a furious king a few verses ago. Therefore, notice what the king said, I make a decree. Wonder where all of those Chaldeans are that brought the accusations now. Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Don't you know that those that were saved because of Daniel, those that were in the king's circle that couldn't interpret the dreams, don't you know that this galled them? Don't you know they're upset? Don't you know they were already upset because they had privileges anyway? And now they're given far more privileges beyond that. Turn with me, if you will, to page 1284. Page 1284 and 1285. I want you to look at what Hebrews said in chapter 11, which is the hall of faith in the Bible. He speaks about these people that stood in the midst of everything that came their way. He said in verse 33, "Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stop the mouths of lions," verse 34, "quench the power of fire, escape the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight." And then notice verse 35 through 37. "Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated." And then verse 38 says, "of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." In other words, those in that hall of faith, there in the book of Hebrews, notice, they came through it, not seeing the promise of the Messiah coming, but because of their incredible faith, they looked through eyes of faith and believed what was happening. Whenever you look at this passage, I'm reminded on page 1223, once again, page 1223, I'm getting us a little Bible drill tonight. In 12:23, I want you to notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brothers," what did Paul say you and I are to be doing? "Be steadfast." That means don't compromise. Stand, take a stand, and stand there. "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." This whole chapter 3 is about a king. It's about a dream. I mean, chapter 2 was. Chapter 3 is about a king that loved himself, that was so narcissistic and so filled with secular, worldly pride. And the Bible says one of the things that God hates most is pride. The Bible speaks about that in Proverbs chapter 6. A proud look. And Nebuchadnezzar was this kind of king. Now let me tell you, God didn't finish with Nebuchadnezzar, because you're going to see Nebuchadnezzar is going to fall again. It's easy to profess, but to possess, to hold on to something, to see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this particular situation with such incredible courage, and boldness to stand in the eye of this king and say, we're not going to bow down to your image and we're not going to serve your gods. And I love the way they answered him. Let me just sort of paraphrase that. Our God is able to deliver us. And they went on and they said he will. But they put that little caveat in there, but if not, in other words, they're saying, we want God's will to be done. So if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to serve your gods. And we're still not going to bow down to this image. If there's any life application, which there are many in this tonight, but let me tell you, one of the great life applications is this, is how strong is my faith? How strong is my character and courage? How strong am I in my boldness to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Will I cave in to the pressures of society and culture? You see, that's why our First Amendment rights are so important. Folks, let me tell you, if in America we ever lost the privilege to share what we believe about our religious convictions of the truth of God, let me tell you, we're just like they would be in South Korea, just like they would be in China, just like they would be in all of those countries where they are ruled with an iron fist by a leader who tells you what you can and you cannot do. That's why it's important that the church, when Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me tell you, Joshua did it right. Joshua said it well. In the book of Joshua chapter 1, Moses has died. They've got a new leader now. Moses is gone. They revered him greatly. But a new leader came on the scene. And Joshua realizes that God has said, I'm going to be with you, Joshua, just like I was with Moses. And Joshua got the people together and he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Let me tell you, I don't know what will happen in the days to come in the life of America. But I know this, I'm going to stand true to the teaching of the Word of God. People may go contrary to what the Scripture says, but God is still God, and God said it. And as far as I'm concerned, that settles it. Will we have the courage of a Shadrach, a Meshach, and Abednego? Will we have the courage of a Daniel to stand in the face of opposition, to stand in the face of an ever-changing world, an ever-changing culture? Will we have that boldness to say, come what may, I'm standing with the Lord Jesus Christ? A few moments ago, Trish sang that song about in the presence of the King, in the presence of Jehovah. Let me tell you, the life application for you and me tonight is that we need to build our faith and to be steadfast, and to be immovable. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were immovable. They were not going to let a wicked king dictate to them what they could and could not do. It could have cost them their lives. But God had a greater purpose for them. When I think of those apostles Jesus called, they would give their lives, except John, and he was boiled in a pot and lived, and then was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. But those apostles followed Jesus to the death because they believed in the God of heaven and of earth. Tonight, I would challenge each one of us, live out our faith in such a way. We don't need to be ugly to people. We don't need to talk people down. What we need to do is just stand with the courage of the truth of what we believe God would have us to do and say, and to love people in spite of where they are, what they do, how they live their lives, because Jesus still loves them, even though they will not, many turn to him in faith. But folks, let me tell you, you and I live in a world today where these young people are going to have a great challenge in the days to come. They're going to be challenged because they have a different idea about a lot of things than older generations had. I'm thankful that God's always had a remnant. I'm thankful there will be a remnant of young people that will boldly stand for the Lord. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. When I saw this past week that a Bible club was granted permission in some school back east, and then the satanic group wanted the same thing because a Christian group was going to get to do have this Bible club. And so the school system renounced and would not allow the satanic group, and now they've got a lawsuit against all the school board of that school. Do you see the challenges that are out there? Do you see where we are? You either stand on the Word of God, immovable, or else the world will move us to a place that would cause grief to Almighty God. May we be a church that will always stand in the face of the world's opposition and say, "Thus saith the Lord." We love you, but we have to live out our convictions based upon the Word of God. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand as we pray together? Deacon Body, be sure and remember our prayer time Sunday morning, 8 o'clock in the church parlor. And please be sure and remember the fish fry. Next Wednesday night, we won't meet because I'm going to be over with the youth next Wednesday night. I want to be over there with them. They're having a lot of the Mullins Baptist Associational youth over there for a night together. And I'm going to be over there with them to get to be involved with them on that evening. And there will be so many of them over there, we're not going to have you come because they'll need a lot of the parking out there. So God bless you for being here tonight. Aren't you glad you came? Amen? Amen. God bless you. Let's pray and we'll let you go home. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this good Bible study. Thank you for the wonderful words of life. As we sing that old song, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. God, take each one safely home. Return us back on Sunday morning. I pray and bless us in the days to come in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Great Wednesday night crowd. Turn around and meet and greet somebody. Would you do that?